If you have your Bibles, we're turning to Galatians chapter 2. We'll be continuing when we left off. And it is good to see Brother Young today. So glad he could be with us today. And always good when he's here. So anyway, I hope some of y'all just overall look kind of a little sleepy today. And it's true, I feel like I'm getting no energy from y'all. So anyway, hopefully my preaching will energize you and we'll get all fired up maybe. But anyway. But I do understand, sometimes it's just that way, but the title of my sermon today is the story, or a story of a mistake. A story of a mistake. A mistake can be defined as an action or a judgment that is misguided or wrong. That's what I like to say, is that when I make a mistake, I was just misguided. Not wrong, just misguided, you know. There's all kinds of mistakes. You know, there's personal mistakes, there's corporate mistakes, there's private mistakes, there's public mistakes. There's mistakes that are not really a big deal, and there's mistakes that are a very big deal. Here's some personal mistakes that I've made. I'm going to list a few. It took me a while, Miss Janet, to come up with this list, because I've not made many mistakes. So, I remember when I was in, ninth grade. I think it was like seventh grade. Or eighth. I remember I had a music test. I didn't take music on purpose. They made you take a half a semester of music. Don't know why. But anyway. And I did not study. I was an A B student. Occasionally, I'd make a C. But I guess I don't know if I didn't. I know I didn't study. Don't know if I didn't think it was. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. You're not thinking when you're in seventh, eighth grade. That's the problem. You're not thinking. I made a 10 on a music test. A 10. Now, like I said, I'm an A B student. I mean, I'm not. I've never failed many tests. I mean, especially not 10. And I remember it was at the end of the, we had six weeks, is how we did it at our school. And it was at the end of the 6 weeks, and it brought my grade to an F. Which, by the way, I did make a D one time. I made like a 69 on a Spanish exam, and that counted as a 6 weeks grade. But even then, I never made an F. And I didn't make an F because I talked the teacher into moving that 10 to the next 6 weeks. Which gave me all 6 weeks to bring that 10 up to a passing grade. That was a mistake I made. I did not study. I remember another time in seventh or eighth grade, I walked into English class. My teacher was, her name was Miss Moss. And she was a good teacher, actually. I actually liked her. I didn't like English, but I liked her. And I walk in one day, you know, I'm living life to the fullest. You know, like I said, I'm living my best life in seventh, eighth grade. And everything's going good, and I walk in, and it just went from up here to down here, because we were supposed to have our term paper turned in. Now, we've been working on it all 6 weeks, and we teach us how to do that. We had note cards, we had source cards, we had rough draft. My heart just sank. Once again, I'm an A-B student. And so I called my mom, had to go to the office, called my mom, and she had to type. They let people type it. We couldn't type back then. She had to type it like in an hour, my correction, and I got it turned in. Needless to say, my mother was very aggravated at me. I made a mistake there. I mean, I remember one time, I'm not going to tell you what I lied about, but it was stupid, but I remember one time being like 10 years old lying to my mother, and she caught me. I remember when I started driving, I had two wrecks, and this was my wife's fault. I got a seatbelt ticket when I was older. Because she missed a turn when we were dating, and so I pulled out of the parking lot and I called her instead of putting on my, well, I'm bad about anyone like me, you don't put your seatbelt on until you start pulling out. Anyone like that? You know, I was driving. I only wear my seatbelt. I wear my seatbelt. But I had both hands full and I was driving a 5-speed. There was no way I could put a seatbelt on. I'm trying to give my wife some directions. Sure enough, Stitcher got behind me. I made a mistake. Skiing, I remember going skiing for the first time, and I decided that I was experienced enough. I was at Winter Place, West Virginia, and I decided I was experienced enough to go up the mountain to the top and try to ski down, and I broke my ankle. That was a pretty costly mistake. Anyway, mistakes. I know you can share some mistakes that are like that, or even more personal that cost you a lot more. Same thing with me. That's definitely just a more than human mistakes I've made. But we're going to look here at a story of a mistake. The mistake is made by Peter. Just more than I want to look at his mistake and glean a few truths about mistakes that will hopefully equip us to make fewer spiritual mistakes. And that's really when I say mistake. And today I really want to look at how to make less spiritual mistakes. And so here's the context. Paul is still recounting a historical event to the church of Galatia in order to show his authority as an apostle and to reteach them that salvation isn't by keeping the law or living like a Jew. So in doing that, Paul recounts the time that Peter made a mistake and he had to correct him. Let's read verses 11 through 14, which is really a big part of 11 through 21. And later we'll get to why he brings up this story. He didn't bring the story up just to bash Peter. He brought it up to make a point that you don't live by the law to be saved. Let's look here at verse 11. And he said, But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Right there we see that he's no longer living under the law. He's eating with them. The diet, he didn't have to live under the dietary laws. And so he experienced what we call freedom in Christ. He now can eat food that what was forbidden. Now he can eat it because the law is not what you have to do in order to keep the law. So when they would come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, in so much that Barnabas also was carried away with the dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Let's pray. Father, I do ask you this morning, thank for them people being here, Lord. I know that like I said, maybe there's a lack of energy, and maybe, some of them may have a lot on their mind, and they may have been a hectic morning. And Lord, I understand all that. And ask, Lord, but for the next few minutes, Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to come down and not just to speak to us, but also just to relax us, Lord, and to make us attentive, Father, not to what I'm saying this morning, but what your word teaches. And help us, Lord, to learn and to grow. And Lord, walk out of here, Lord, being charged up, renewed, to live for you, Father. And I ask you, Father, do that today in Christ's name. Amen. So anyway, it's good also to see Brother Daryl Parker back there. He snuck in on us. So anyway, it's good to see him. So continue to remember him. I know the shoulder is the aggravating surgery. So I've had a couple of friends that's had it done. So thankful he's here today. Glad he can be here. So anyway, Peter has made a mistake. Paul corrects him. And when Paul corrects Peter, it also reveals this. It reveals Paul's authority that he is an apostle. By the way, remember the context. The people, the false teacher at Galatia, saying that Paul's not an apostle. Well, one of the things he does here, when he shows how Peter ultimately submits to Paul, showing Paul's authority. Anyway, as Paul tells the story of a mistake, he reveals four truths about mistake that I'm looking at. And I break it down like this, chapter 1. Because this is a story. So chapter 1, no one is above making a mistake. I want you to know that. That's the first thing here. No one is above making a mistake. There's a book. I was Googling different illustrations and things like that. And there's this book, and I don't know. I forgot who it's written by. It's called Being Wrong. But I want you to look at what it says. I don't know anything about the book. I probably wouldn't agree with the book, but listen to this. And it says a whole lot of us go through life assuming that we are basically right. Basically all the time. About basically everything. about our intellectual conviction, our assessment of other people, our memories, our grasp of facts, and absurd as it may sound, when we stop to think about it, our steady state seems to be a one unconsciously assuming that we're very close to omniscient, which means all-knowing. Think about it. Most of us, all of us, and by the way, when I read that, if you're thinking about somebody else, then you have this problem. Okay? But we all tend to live and not even realize it, that we're always right. We're always right about the facts. I would say the facts. We're always right about people and what we think about ourselves. Have you ever made an assessment about somebody that you didn't really know? But we know we're right. We think all our memories are facts. You know, we'll say, well, no. You know, this is what happened. Have you ever been wrong? Of course you have. But do we act like that? Of course we don't. Many times, we think that we're above making a mistake, but you're not. Now, here's the thing. Peter, if someone was above making a mistake, I believe it'd be Peter. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look here at letter A, Peter's credentials. I'm going to give you just a few things I wrote down here. Peter had a really good religious background. Now, let me say this. Peter wasn't just religious. He was actually spiritual. You say, what do you mean? Well, when Jesus came onto the scene, you remember a lot of the Jews rejected him. But not Peter. Not Andrew. I mean, let me read what John 1:40 said. He said, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And we know how the story ended. They both followed Jesus. So, you got Andrew and Peter, who are Jews, they accepted Christ. You got other Jews who rejected him. Why? Here's why. Because Peter and Andrew, they weren't just religious. They were spiritual men. They were spiritual men. They truly had a heart for God. And so, okay, my point is that he was a religious man. Here's another thing. He had a really good teacher. Peter was taught by Peter about Jesus himself. Peter, he's been there and done that and got the t-shirt. He has lived life. He's wiser. That's why a lot of you are falling in that category. You live life, you're wiser, you made mistakes, you learn from the mistakes. That's all good and great, but it doesn't mean that you're not above making a mistake now. Peter has failed. I mean, remember when he walked on the water? He failed to keep his eyes on Jesus? Remember when he denied Jesus? I mean, he's learned from all of that. Peter has experienced some amazing things. He experienced Jesus' power over nature. I mean, think about the calming of the sea. Think about when you raised Lazarus from the dead. Peter saw that. When he saw Jesus make the lame man walk and the blind man to see. I mean, Peter saw all of that. He experienced all of that. I mean, he had some amazing credentials. I mean, he saw Jesus' compassion and forgiveness. Surely, a man with Peter's spiritual knowledge, experiences, and even failure, surely he won't make any more mistakes. Wrong. Peter made some mistakes. And that's what we're looking at next is, we see letter B, Peter's conduct. Peter's conduct. Let's look back in our text now. At Peter. Again, I put him at the top of the list. If somebody's not going to make a mistake, Peter's got a good shot. But let's look at what Peter did here. And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to face because he was to blame. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So first thing I want you to understand here, and here's Peter's conduct. At one point, Peter was eating with the Gentile believer. That's what it says. Now, this is not, I want you to understand, this was not a normal practice for the Jews. We got to remember, they were supposed to be separated from the Gentiles, and mainly here's one reason. Because Gentiles didn't eat the way a Jew would. So it would be very hard for a Jew to go to a Gentile's house and to participate in what they were eating. For example, like me. Me and my wife don't drink. So I'm probably not going to, on a regular basis, hang out with people who drink. Why? Because I don't participate in that. It's going to be really hard for me to feel comfortable in that situation. Same thing for the Jews here. They will not be comfortable, nor will they be able to eat with them. But now that Jesus has died, now that Peter's had that dream and act where Jesus said, everything is clean. Don't say that anything unclean that I said is clean. And by the way, alcohol is still not clean. I want you to know that. I'm going to say that. Just so you know where I stand on that. Alcohol is still unclean. I don't care. Anyway, I'm not going to get on that right now. But Peter now knows that the Gentile can accept the gospel and that they can eat in fellowship and they have freedom to do that because of Jesus Christ. Now, here is the thing. Let's look next at verse 12 again. And it says, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were the circumcision. But what happened is that a certain group of people come, some other Jews, they come, we'll talk about that in a minute. He separates himself from the Gentiles. Now, most likely it was a gradual thing. A group of Jews that were very highly respected, I guess, they came in, and Peter gradually started backing away from the Gentiles. He started going back to practicing the law. Now, the ramification for that is what he's saying. Let's say it like last week. What you say doesn't say as much as what you do. And what he's saying is, hey, the gospel or salvation, and to be saved, you got to live like a Jew. Here's what happened. Peter has made a mistake. And we know that from verse 1, because Paul says this. He said, I withstood him face to face. So what can we learn from chapter 1? That no one is above making a mistake. Peter, a couple weeks ago, he said that Peter was one of the pillars. If there's someone at the top of the pyramid, it was going to be Peter. And Peter here, we see him in the Word making a mistake. I want you to know this. I don't care who you are. You can make a mistake. I don't care how much Bible you know. You can make a mistake. I don't care how many mistakes you made in the past and how much wiser you are now. I don't care how gray your hair is. You still are not above making a mistake. I want you to understand that. We need to be humble. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I don't get this from y'all, but as I've been a pastor or even in my other church, I sometimes see this. You have young people who think they know it all, and then sometimes you have older people. The older you get, you kind of go through a transition of where you think you know it all too. And what happened in all stages of life, there's a little thing called pride. And you only start when you're about 15. And don't end until you die. And it's this. We think we know it all. We don't. None of us do. Be humble. Here's the next thing though. Be prepared. We all are masters at making mistakes. Yet we walk around as though we are perfect. We do. Yet what we need to prepare. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We need to renew our minds. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to consider your ways. Haggai 1:5, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. None of us are above making a mistake. We need to be humble. We need to be prepared. Because here's the thing. Those who don't prepare are preparing to fail. You've probably seen this reading. If you don't prepare to, if you don't prepare, then you're preparing to fail. And how true that describes many of us. Many of us would give Peter such a hard time for not listening to Jesus say, wake up and pray. Yet many of us in our own lives are doing the same thing because we think we're above making a mistake. Oh, hey, maybe you have. Maybe you have overcome a lot. Maybe you've grown a lot. But it doesn't matter. You still are not above making a mistake. I mean, even Peter. And Peter did good. Meaning time. I mean, he's the one that said, what do people say I am? And Jesus said, what do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Oh, he grown a lot, but he still made a mistake because he was not prepared. Here's the thing. As believers, we are not above making a mistake. What we need to do, we need to learn from Peter. We need to be humble. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll get to it later. We need, I don't know where it's at now. I know where it's at. It's the very last point, but I'm going to say it now too. I'll say it again later. It needs to be said. We don't need to get upset when people talk to us and address things. Ain't that the saddest thing? Because, you know, the proverb, the written, the even today, you know what a lot of us are? We're scoffers. He said the proverb says that scoffers don't listen to instructions, but the wise men do. He said, why, people who are wise love rebuke. And I'll be honest with you, I don't love rebuke. I don't love correction. But most of us, if we're not careful, we're more categorized as scoffers. Now, you know what that tells us? That tells us we think that we're perfect many times. Now, we would never say that, but I'll actually say it. Many times we don't read the Word of God because you know why? Because we think we're perfect. We don't put on the whole armor of God. We don't consider our way because at the end of the day, most of us really think we're all that. But we're not. We're not above making a mistake. And here's the thing. You might be making a mistake right now in your life. And but you've not stopped to consider what you're doing. And story of mistake, chapter 1, no one is above making a mistake. Chapter 2, the wrong kind of fear can lead to mistake. You say, why are you telling me that? Because of what the Word of God says. The reason that Peter withdrew from the Gentile, making a mistake, was he allowed the wrong kind of fear to control him. Peter allowed the fear that the Bible condemned. Let's look at letter A, is the condemned fear. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. You'll see here, you know, we know what Peter did. But why did he do it? We're fitting to see that right here in verse 12. And the last part it says, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Peter acted the way he did because he feared what the Bible identified as the party of the circumcision. Now, we don't know what this group is. People say it's a political group that's trying to overtake Rome. Some people say it's Judaizers. We don't really know, and the truth is, it doesn't really matter. What we do know is that Peter allowed this fear, fear of a man, to dictate what he did. He allowed the fear of a man, a group of people, a human beings, to dictate what he did. Here's the only problem with that. The Bible condemns that kind of fear. You say, what do you mean? Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Get what Jesus said. Fear not them which kill the body as other men, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. So what he's saying there, he's saying don't fear men and what they can do. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he goes with thee. Go back. What it says, fear not, be not afraid of them. God said, we are not to fear what man can do to us. This kind of fear is condemned. That's exactly the kind of fear that Peter had, and that's what led him to making a mistake. When you let fear of man control you, you're going to make a mistake. When you allow what man can, when you feel what man can do, you're going to make a mistake. When you allow what man thinks, that's what it is in America. What man thinks is going to cause you to make a mistake. When you fear how man might react to what you're doing, you'll make a mistake. Because fear of man, why? Because when you fear what man's going to do to you, what he thinks, what he might, how he might react, what happens is you make what someone else thinks more important than what God's word says. And that's what eventually happens. Because when, what happens eventually, maybe not to begin with, but there'll come a point when you allow the fear of man to dictate what you do, and there's going to come a day when it's going to rival what, and you're going to have to choose. Am I going to do what man wants me to do? Or am I going to do what the Bible says? And the problem is that we allow what man thinks to dictate what we do. Many times. I mean, I give the illustration, but it is true. Can't say I practice that well. And if someone walks up and says, did you like my cooking? And it was terrible. What do? We lie. Why? Because we care about how, we fear how they're going to react. See my point? I mean, I know, and that's a whole situation. So I've told you in the past, don't ask, okay? Don't ask. Don't make me lie or tell the truth, whichever one. Both are bad, okay? But it's true. Do we not do that? See my point? And when fear of man, how they act or what they think becomes more important, and when that becomes your motivation, then it's going to come to a point to where you're going to obey that over the Bible. And when you do that, I think the Bible calls that sin. Now, last time I checked, we're supposed to be not doing that. Let me give you a positive example of what needs to be doing. Acts chapter 5, verse 27-30. This is the apostles. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And then Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than man. And that's exactly what we need to do. And we need to make sure that we are obeying what God wants rather than what man thinks or what man may do to us. And in this case, I don't know if they were here, but they'll get beat eventually because of this. And he said, no, we're not going to fear a beating. We're not going to fear not being popular. You know, hey, when it comes to parents, oh, well, my kids not get to participate in this, and they're going to think we're weirdos. That's okay. That's okay. Because it's more important to be obedient to what the Bible says than for you to be afraid that someone, well, they're going to think we're weird. That's okay. I don't want to be weird either, but I want to be weird when it comes to the Bible. I'm pretty sure that the verse that says we are peculiar people. The problem, we've lost that. We've lost that. We don't look no different than the world anymore. We don't act any different. Because we're fearing what man might say, what they think. We see the condemned fear. Now look at the commanded fear. Let it be the commanded fear. We are not to fear man, but we are to fear God. And fear of God, a big dose of fearing God will aim and make you less spiritual mistakes. Here's the problem with so many people. Is that they make their decision and all that. They don't have a fear of God. They don't have a fear of God. Fear of God is not even close. They're not even in their mind. And I see, I've made them. I see people making so many mistakes because they don't fear God. Sadly, many don't. But yet, we are commanded to fear God. Proverbs 5:7 says this, be not wise in their own eyes. That's pretty good there, because that basically, chapter 1, realize that you can't, that you're above making, that you're not above making a mistake. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I mean, that's what that describes most Americans in church today. Fear the Lord. Then the next part is, and depart from evil. There's a correlation between not thinking of all that, then saying, I'm going to fear God, And it's going to hurt. When that happens, when you fear God, then you're going to depart from evil, which means you're not going to make mistakes. And this kind of goes hand in hand. Fearing God is paramount. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us clean ourselves, not make mistakes, from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, not making mistakes, in the fear of God. You know why most people are living wickedly? Because they don't fear God. When we get a big dose of fearing God, we all will change the mistakes in our life. We are the fear of God. Fearing God has a way of keeping us on the right way, not making mistakes. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to be characterized like Job was. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, a man who didn't make a lot of mistakes. And the one that feared God and eschewed evil. I mean, Brother Mike, I can't explain it really, but there's a correlation. Now, when you fear God, you're not going to do evil. And when you're not doing evil, that means you're not making spiritual mistakes. Oh, we care so much about what man thinks. We care so much about what our neighbors think. We care so much about what the other little kids at school will think because your kids dress modest and act like a Christian and don't participate in the things that the others participate. Oh, they mean we fear that, we don't let them go to this party, or we don't let them go to Panama City or to party like everyone else. They're going to think we're weird. That's a good thing. It's good to fear God. It's a bad thing to fear what other people think, and that's what most of us are living in. We fear what other people think, not even what they'll do to us, just what they think over what God commands. We got it backwards. We need to quit caring about what man can do to us or what they think and fear what God thinks and what God can do. By the way, God can destroy your soul. I think that's who we need to be fearing. The wrong kind of fear, I should put, will lead to mistakes. The right kind of fear, which is the fear of God, will lead to doing the right thing. Peter feared man, it resulted in mistakes. Daniel, he feared God, and he stayed faithful to God. You know, when he opened them doors up, and he got on his knees, I don't know if he said he got on his knees or not, before he did, we'll say he did, because that's what we love. We love to add things to the Bible, so you know, like that. But it's okay. I can see him opening the door. I see him getting on his knees. I see him praying, knowing what the decree said. He said, I am not going to fear what man can do to me. I'm going to stay faithful to God. That's not what we do. Well, you know, when we get thrown in the lion's den. But for us, it's not in that. He said, we're going to get made fun of when we go to work. They're going to call us weird. They're going to call us a cult. They're going to call us this. We just better just do what everyone else is doing. That's a mistake. You're supposed to fear God. And that's what Daniel did. We fearing the wrong thing leads to us making many spiritual mistakes and compromising. What we need to do, we need to fear God. The story of a mistake. Chapter 1, no one above making a mistake. Chapter 2, the wrong kind of fear will lead to mistakes. Chapter 3, getting really sad, others are influenced by your mistakes. Peter's mistake in the story here of Peter teaches us a sad reality that others or our mistakes affect others. Letter A is multiple people. And what I mean by that is Peter's mistake influenced multiple people. Look at verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him. That's what's so sad about this story, in my opinion. Peter, He's separated from being with the Jews. I mean, he's separated from the Gentiles. And by the way, in the verse 13, look at the last word, dissimulation. It means hypocrisy. Peter become a hypocrite. And he's separated from the Gentiles. And when he did this, so did the other Jews. Peter's mistake influenced others to make the same mistake. Hey, today, we need to care about making spiritual mistakes, or mistakes that lead to sin, because number one, God cares, and we should care about that. Don't get me, that should be paramount. But on top of that, I want you to understand that you need to take your conduct, you need to care about how you live, because your mistakes are going to influence more than just you. And obviously, if you're a parent, it's going to influence your kids. Sometimes you need to do things or not do things, not because it's really wrong, but because of what it'll teach your kid. Like, I personally, as I said, I don't think it's wrong to fish on Sunday. I mean, personally. But my dad never would. You know why? And I don't think because he thought it was wrong himself, because he knew the example he'd be setting for me. And like I said, Curtis Linton's the one that said this. I've said it before. Because remember, what you do in moderation, the next generation does in excess. And if you decide to go fishing and skip church, you decide to do this, you decide to watch a couple of movies that you shouldn't watch, here and there, and you compromise, okay, that's fine. But the things you do, the next generation is going to do in excess. And you're seeing that now. You're seeing it now. In our world. And it's just true. Here's the thing about your mistake. Oh, like that, I kind of need this, that you're hearing this question, do carnal Christians go to heaven? I don't know if there's a thing in the carnal Christian, but we know what you mean. Somebody who doesn't live just on fire for God. Yeah? But someone said like this, they go to heaven, but the kids don't. Carnal Christian, now, do they go to heaven? Yeah, but the kids don't. I'm going to tell you right now, like that, you skip church here and there and you're not faithful, your kids ain't going to come at all. I'm going to tell you right now, your kids ain't going to come. You decide to compromise here and there, and it's no big deal. It may not be no big deal in your life, but it'll become a big deal in your kids' life. That's just reality. And by the way, the guy put something out and talk about Israel, how Israel did that, the Jews did that. One generation knew God, the next one known about God, the next generation didn't even know anything about God. I didn't even preach that sermon. It's good. My point is that under the influence by your mistake, and that's not just a parent, that's all of us. People are influenced by your mistakes. And here's what we need to do. We need to take it seriously. We need to take mistake and our habits seriously because it affects other people. Not only did Peter's mistake affect multiple people, but it also affected mature people. That's letter B, mature people. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's read that verse again. And the other Jews, that's the multiple people, disassembled likewise with him, in so much that, what does that say? Barnabas also was carried away. Peter separated himself, the other Jews followed, and so did Barnabas. I want you to understand something. Barnabas isn't just some other Jew. He was a mature, faithful believer. Barnabas was a man of influence among the apostles. He's the one that vouched for Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 27, it said, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared him how that on the road that he had seen the Lord and spoke to him and how at Damascus he preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas, when everybody else was skeptical, the men at the top of the pyramid, it was Barnabas, a man of influence, a spiritual man, a man of encouragement. He took Paul and said, this man, he's truly a Christian, and y'all need to accept him. That man was affected by Peter's mistake. A mature man. Your mistake don't just affect immature people. Sometimes it damages the most mature people spiritually. I want you to understand something. You may recover from a mistake, but someone you influence may not. And I'm going to give you a good area. I saw it at my old church in one particular incident in the area of gossip. You can tear someone down in anger and make a mistake. You may restore that relationship, but many times the one that you tore them down to will never be restored. If I go to Brother Mike and I just tear up Brother Don, maybe he don't know Brother Don, and I just get him down, right? I'm mad at Brother Don. I may realize Don will convict me, and I mean Brother Don, I may go apologize to Brother Don. I may even go to Brother Mike and say, Brother Mike, I was wrong. But many times, he'll never, never look at Brother Don the same way. And I'm afraid that happens sometimes in this church. You know why? Because gossip, the power of the tongue. He said the person who can, that's like, if you can control that, you can control everything. Then you make sure that we don't make mistakes because it affects other people. I think Ephesians 5:15 sums it up well. Look carefully then how you walk. Not in unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are numbered. And we, try to not make mistakes, not just for your safety, but for the safety of others. The story of a mistake. Chapter 1, no one's above making a mistake. Chapter 2, the wrong kind of fear will lead to mistakes. Chapter 3, others are influenced by your mistake. And in chapter 4, and it's very brief, you need to deal with your mistakes. Letter A, I'm not going to give you much of an explanation, but verse 11 says that Paul confronted Peter. Look at verse 11. It says, and when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face, because he was to blame. Letter B, Paul corrected Peter. In verse 14, it says this, but when I saw that they walked not rightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, them all, and I'm not going to read it, he corrects Peter. Here's the thing this morning. If you're here today and you're making some spiritual mistakes, you need to deal with it. You need to deal with it. That's all I can say. You need to deal with it. And I said this when I said earlier, I got ahead of myself. Today, I think we also need to train ourselves to love those who bring correction in your life. Let me read the verse, Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Let me ask you, has anyone ever corrected you on a mistake in your life? And ever right? Did you find yourself loving that person or hating that person? Like I said a minute ago, I'm afraid that most of us are more like the scorner. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Hey, you need to deal with your mistakes. That may mean that someone confronts you about something. A wise person accepts it and loves it. I think we're more scorners than wise men. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a wise person. And the sad thing, to be honest with you, and I've not had that many people in my life correct me. And all joking aside, I know I make a lot of mistakes. I mean, truthfully, my mom and dad would, if I asked them, they try to be good older parents and not, get my business on time, but, because I am an adult, they understand that. But truthfully, probably the only two people in my life, my two cousins, Mike, one that preached here, and his other cousin, Mark. Because I work with Mark, and now he's about the only one I know that I've been honest about. I have to ask him, hey, I'm doing this, or I'm upset about this. And he'd be the only person to really just say it like this, even if I didn't like it. You know, when I was younger, I didn't like that. But then I read the Word of God, and it wasn't like we had to retrain ourselves. I really appreciate that. Have you ever been blinded to something in your life? Have you ever needed a Nathan to confront you like David, that he confronted David? The sad thing is that we don't do that. The sad thing, we don't do that with each other. That's what we should be doing. I should be talking to people when I see something that I love. We're going to talk about that later in chapter 5, I think. You know, knowing the Spirit restores a brother. We need to be doing that simultaneously, not because we're better than anyone, but hey, you're making a mistake, and you don't see it, and we need to stop saying, well, you know, my flesh didn't like hearing that, but let me, okay, what do you got to tell me? You know, what is it? That's how it needs to be. The sad thing is that people are not confronting me, but I'm not confronting people, and vice versa, and all the way around. Think about how much help in the church would be right now if we would just speak up and be like, hey, you know, I feel like you're getting off track. And think about if the person that you told that to said, well, you know, I think I don't agree with you right now, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'll pray about it. But then that's not what happened. The first thing we do is we never say anything, but if we do say something, it's like, I can't believe you said something. You're just a legalist. You're super spiritual. Oh, I don't want to hear you preaching at me. That's how we react. You need to deal with your mistakes. You need to love those who bring correction in your life. In conclusion, a story of a mistake. No one above making a mistake. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, the wrong kind of fear can lead to mistakes. Chapter 3, only are influenced by your mistakes. Chapter 4, you need to deal with your mistakes. But I want to add a chapter 5. God forgives mistakes. 1 John 1:9. Well, we can't leave this sermon today without bringing this up, because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so glad of that. Hey, maybe today, we talk the Word of God, maybe you're sitting there, maybe you realize something in your life. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you think you're above making a mistake. Maybe you fear what other people think. Maybe you know that if someone confronted you today, you wouldn't like it. Here's a great thing about that, and that God will forgive you. And the piano player comes up and plays some invitation. If we stand, I want to close with that. I want you to know that, hey, we're going to make mistakes until we go to heaven. We need to be renewing our mind. We need to have these safeguards in our life. But here's the thing, when you do make a mistake, God will forgive you. I want you to know that.